Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 hello, 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 how y'all doing? It is 5:07 and the time is near. Don't worry, baby, because G-Bev is here. This is Sound Off Forum. I'd like to thank you and welcome you for coming out tonight, Lord. Lord willing, you guys come and enjoy this wonderful guest speaker that we have here on tonight, Ms. Morris. And so I was wondering if y'all have, Ms. Morrison, I was wondering if you guys were ready to get this started. I know that I am. So we're going to do the intro and then get everything started. You can find me at Facebook at SoundOff974913, or you can find me at Twitter at Twitter sound off, hashtag sound off 97413 and all that good stuff. So without further ado, I will bring in Miss Morrison. I hope she's ready. I know she's ready. I'm ready. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I am fine, George. How are you?
I am awesome. I am so glad to have you on my show. I'm honored.
Thank you. Can you hear me good?
Oh, I can hear you awesomely. Great. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, could you give yourself a little introduction and, you know, a little background who you are and everything?
Okay. Well, you know, I really don't like talking about myself, but first of all, I am Dana Morrison, living in the Dallas area. Currently, I am employed with City Square, which is a nonprofit organization here in Dallas that's been in existence for 20 years. And we are a poverty fighting agency who help our neighbors. We don't call individuals that we serve clients or participants. We see the people that we serve as our neighbors, and we help them in aspects of what we call the 4-H's, which is hunger, homelessness, health, and hope. And I work in the program part of where they find hope. I actually do full-time in the daytime as pretty much the program manager in the work task department, where we provide pre-employment training opportunities for low-income individuals, underemployed individuals, disabled, veterans, homelessness, offenders. We're one of the few agencies that work with offenders and basically train them with a skill to make them more employable and help them find a job with a what we call a career path. And that, and what we call, what we consider a career path, is a livable wage with benefits and the opportunity to grow. Aside from that, I also facilitate some life coaching classes where I work with a variety of people, whether it could be marital issues, domestic violence, sexual abuse, addiction, and veterans, people who have dealt in traumatic or crisis situations. So just a plethora of services that I've been able to take part in since for a few years now. So that's a little bit about me.
That was a mouthful, but I loved it. And you did an excellent job. I appreciate that. Not a problem. And definitely, if we can get you on again to talk about those other services, it would be great for my listeners, because that's the kind of stuff. The 4 H's is what I fight for on my show. And let me remember the 4 H's. Homelessness.
Health and hope. Pretty much under those 4 H's, as far as I would say, we started off with hunger first. We have one of the biggest food pantries in Dallas, Texas, where we serve between 200 people a day, Tuesday through Fridays from 9 o'clock to 4:30. We also have one of the largest summer feeding programs, not only in Dallas, but as well as Austin and San Antonio as well. So we have expanded our reach in other areas as well. We also assist in homelessness, where we find housing for the, where we partner with various homeless shelters and around Dallas, where we partner with various resources that help provide permanent supportive housing for pretty much individuals who are chronically homeless. As well as we also provide what we call health. We have two clinics that help individuals with medical assistance who are not able to actually afford or who do not have health care. As well as what we call hope is what we provide employment opportunities or training to give people a chance to get a fresh start and give them an opportunity to get it for themselves. Also under HOPE, we're one of the few agencies that assist our foster young people who are actually age out of foster care. So say, for instance, they didn't get adopted or what have you, which is what we call our TRAC program, which assists individuals who are grown pretty much, who have aged out of foster care, and we assist them with livable skills, training, and so forth to help them be able to live independently away from foster care as well. So various services. We also have counseling, social services, whatever we're considered City Square, what we call a one-stop shop. If we don't have it at a City Square, we would definitely resource you to the facilities that can be able to help you. But we are considered a one-stop nonprofit organization where you have some organizations that just only have a food pantry, or they only help in housing, or they only provide shelter, where we try to get all of it to actually help fight poverty.
Oh, awesome. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight we're going to be talking about anger and anger management. And
tonight we're going to... Okay. Go ahead.
And could you define what exactly is anger? I mean,
perfect.
In the way that
so
you...
I'm so glad. First of all, let me just say I want to thank you for having me tonight, and thank you and your listeners for having me tonight. And, of course, tonight we're going to talk about anger management tips and techniques for getting anger under control. And the reason why I chose this particular topic is because we are living in a society where you have murder, suicide, domestic violence, crime just escalating. And a lot of it is because people do not know how to control and maintain their anger. So let me first start off like this, okay? So pretty much, I want your listeners to ask themselves, you know, do they have a short fuse or find themselves getting a freaking frequent arguments and fights? First of all, I want to say anger is a normal, healthy emotion. But, there goes that but. When chronic explosive anger spirals out of control, it can have serious consequences for your relationship, your health, and your state of mind. And tonight, I just want to provide insight about the real reasons for anger and give some anger management tools and help your listeners learn to how to keep their temper under control and quit letting anger hijack their life. So you ask me, what is anger, right?
Right.
Right. So anger is, understanding anger, the emotional anger is not really good or bad. It's perfectly healthy and normal to feel angry, right? Especially when someone has mistreated us or done us wrong or what have you. The feeling isn't the problem, it's what you do with it that makes a difference. So first of all, I want to say anger is normal. Anger is healthy. But it's what you do with that anger is the problem. So like I said, the feeling isn't the problem, it's what you do with it that makes a difference. And anger becomes a problem, of course, when it harms you up. So pretty much a lot of people suffer from hot tempers, and a lot of people may feel like that their anger get out of hand, there's little they can do about it to tame the beast. But, you know, we do have control over anger more than we actually think. You can learn to express your emotions without hurting others. And let me say that again. You can learn to express your emotions without hurting others. And when you do, you not only feel better, you'll also be more likely to get your needs met. So mastering the art of anger takes work. Mastering the art of anger management takes work. But the more you practice, the easier it gets, and the payoff can be huge. So learning to control our anger and express it appropriately can help us build better relationships, achieve goals, and lead a healthier, more satisfying life. So pretty much anger is an emotion that we feel. It's a state of mind that when we've been mistreated or feel we've been mistreated or wrong, we have a right to be angry. So it is healthy and it is normal, okay? First, I want to start off with that. Any questions so far?
Nope, I'm right on it.
We good? I can go on?
Yes, ma'am, we're good.
Okay. So one of the things that I like to do when I talk to people is talk about myths. And so I like to do like a true or false type of thing or what have you. So I'm just going to dialogue with you. Is that okay?
Okay. All right, here we go.
Okay. So here we go. So here's the myth. I shouldn't hold anger in. It is healthy to vent and let it out. What do you think?
True.
Okay. You said it's healthy to vent and let it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Fact. Let me tell you the fact. It is true that suppressing and ignoring anger is unhealthy, but venting is no better. Anger is not something you have to let out in an aggressive way in order to avoid blowing up. In fact, outbursts and tyrants only fuel the fire and reinforce your anger problem. So it's true that suppressing and ignoring anger is unhealthy, and venting is no better. Okay.
Oh, so I was right and wrong.
Huh?
I was right and wrong. I said
pretty
I was
much,
right and wrong.
Pretty much, there's not a right or wrong. It just provides you with a different insight. My job is to open your thought process. So let me get you again. Maybe this will be more easier. Anger, aggression, intimidation. I'm talking about a myth now. Back to the myth. Anger, aggression, and intimidation help me earn respect and get what I want. Because a lot of people use that to get respect. They think if they get mad, get loud, be overbearing or whatever, that causes them respect. So do you, true or false, anger, aggression, and intimidation help me earn respect and get what I want?
Man. that's pretty good.
What you think?
No.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
One, we're living in a world of bullying, right? We're kind of where kids are getting bullied, people are Facebook bullying or whatever, and true power doesn't come from bullying others. People may be afraid of you, but they won't respect you if you can't control or handle opposing viewpoints. Others will be more willing to listen to you and accommodate your needs if you communicate in a respectful way. So pretty much, you ain't got to act a fool to get respect. Most people know that silence is, most people don't realize that silence is more deadly than outbursts. You get your point more. What I mean is that you get your point across more when you know how to communicate and appropriately communicate without raising your voice or getting angry or snapping your fingers or pacing around or standing up or sticking your finger in someone's face. So that's not respectful. Actually, that's childish.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about another myth. I can't help myself. Anger is something you can't. It's something you can control. Anger isn't something you can't control. Do you think anger is something you can't control?
Yes, I believe that's something you can't control.
Really? Okay. You can't always control the situation you're in or how it makes you feel, but you can control how you express anger. So back to what we said in the beginning, anger is normal. It's a normal, healthy emotion, but you can't control how you express your anger. and you can't express your anger without being verbally or physically abusive. Even if someone is pushing them little hot spots, pushing your buttons, you always have a choice about how you respond. So you are correct. Anger isn't something that you can control, but how you respond to anger is controllable. And that's really the focus of what we're talking about tonight is how can you control it. So one last myth. Anger management is about learning to suppress your anger.
So anger management itself is how to control your anger. So
that's the myth. Are we talking about myths?
Okay.
We're still on the last myth. Anger management is about learning to suppress your anger.
Wow, that's a good one.
Okay.
True.
That's okay. Never getting angry is not a good goal. Anger is normal. Remember, we said anger is normal. And all will come out regardless of how hard you try to suppress it. Anger management is all about becoming aware of your underlying feelings and needs and developing healthier ways to manage being upset. So you're managing being upset. Rather than trying to suppress your anger, the goal is to express it in a constructive way. So we know there are destructive ways to not controlling anger management. We know those ways, right? You know, violence, you know, people in relationships, talking to each other in any kind of way, you know, not communicating well or what have you. So those are deconstructive ways. But there are constructive ways to verbalize or express your anger without being harmful to others, without being disrespectful to others, and also not making your own self look bad by those rants and antics, okay? So, yes. Did you have something? Hello?
So if those are all myths, why do people circulate them so much instead of really knowing the facts about anger?
You know why? A lot of people learn anger a lot of people use anger to express their feelings because they don't know how to express other feelings that they may be feeling.
You know, anger is sometimes
often a cover up for other feelings. And what I mean by that.
Okay, so it's a cover up. It's a cover up of how they really feel. And
anger is often a cover up for other feelings. So sometimes, in order to get your needs met and express your anger in an appropriate way, you need to be in touch with what you're really feeling. Most people, so you got to say, am I truly angry? Some people are masking anger behind feelings such as embarrassment, insecurity, shame, and vulnerability.
Okay.
You get them? You following me?
Yeah. So how can they combat that feeling of hurt, shame, the hurt and the shame in order to get them where they need to be?
Well, pretty much back in the, first of all, let's go back up. And basically ask me pretty much why learning to control our anger is important. This is why it's important, okay? So we kind of just
okay.
Did. So let's back a little bit, okay? A lot of times people who express themselves in those type of ways kind of figure everybody else around them, they're too sensitive or they feel like their anger is justified or they need to show and carry themselves away in order to get respect. But like I said, you know, usually in order, but it does the opposite of for them. It pretty much put a negative impact on people, on the way people see them. So let's talk about why it's important to control your anger, and that is because one, anger hurts your physical health, it hurts your mental health, and it hurts your career, and it hurts your relationship with others. So you ask me what's really behind anger, right?
Right.
Right. Sometimes anger problems often have stemmed pretty much from what we've learned as a child. Now, this is going to get a little deep now. If you have watched others in your family scream and carry on, hit each other, throw stuff, you might think this is how anger is supposed to be expressed, because a lot of people in their childhood grew up with parents, which we love our parents. We thank God for our parents, but sometimes they taught us the best they could with what they knew and with the tools that they knew at that particular time. And so as a child, we may have seen a lot of fighting in our homes, people cursing each other, disrespecting each other, or it could have been, you know, a lot of people have suffered, you know, traumatic events that they haven't been healed on, you know, traumatic events of abuse or what have you that they have haven't been healed on. And so that's why I said anger is a cover-up for other feelings. And so a lot of people, in order to get their needs met and express their anger in the proper ways, you need to be in touch with what you are really feeling. And so a lot of people, it's easier to express anger than it is to express embarrassment, insecurity, hurt, shame, or vulnerable, or being vulnerable. Who wants to be vulnerable? Who wants to express shame? Who wants to express insecurity? Who wants to express embarrassment? So where do they go from there? Anger. So that's why I say anger is often a cover-up for other feelings. It is very likely that our temper is covering up true feelings and needs. And especially if you grew up in a family where expressing feelings was strongly discouraged. Because some people grew up in a household where they didn't have parents that didn't say, I love you, or this, or whatever, you know, or what have you. That, so a lot of those things was strongly discouraged. A lot of children didn't grow with parents kissing on them and loving them and what talking to them or whatever. And then as an adult, you may have a hard time acknowledging your feelings other than anger if you grew up in that type of household. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about how do we find out if there is, now I just told you that anger is a cover up for feelings, right? Others that could be for other feelings. Now, how do we find out that there's more to the anger? Okay. You have a hard time compromising. If it's hard for you to understand other people's point of view, and even harder to see the point, if you grew up in a family where anger was out of control, you may remember how that angry person got his or her way by being the loudest and most demanding. Compromising might bring up scary feelings of failure, vulnerability. What do you think about that?
So does either one of them make you more angry, or I guess you could say, failure? Does failure make a person feel more angry than other emotions?
I think people will rather be angry and be the loudest and be more boisterous than express their emotions of feeling like they are failure or feeling shameful or feeling embarrassed or show their insecurity. Remember, people show anger to be the loudest as a part of control. So instead of they feel like they've lost control if they show their insecurity, if they show their hurt, if they show their shame, if they show their vulnerability. So it's easier to express that anger than it is to express being vulnerable. being shameful or what have you. So a lot of people have trouble expressing emotions other than anger. So you have to ask yourself, do you pride yourself on being?
Could anger, I know you said that anger is a cover-up, but
anger is often a cover-up for other feelings.
Can these emotions fully take control of your life? I mean, could because you're embarrassed for whatever reason, could that emotionally make you angry for the rest of your life because you feel that you're a failure?
Yes. You're angry, you're bitter at yourself, you're bitter at other people. You don't know how to let people in. You don't know how to express yourself to other people and tell them, back so-and-so then, or previous in life I did this and I'm really embarrassed about it. It's harder to express because a lot of people in their mind are still living in the past. A lot of people in their mind are still living in the past. Even though it's 2013, people are still living like whatever traumatic event that has happened to them. They have not been freed from that. You understand what I'm saying? They haven't let it go, and they have not forgiven themselves. A lot of people have not forgiven themselves for the things they have done in the past or may have went through. A lot of times anger is based on unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of what you've done, unforgiveness of what's been done to you. And so you hold on to that anger and that bitterness, and it projects out because it's still in you. It projects out into your other relationship because you have not been free from the other. You haven't admitted that this hurt me when I was 10 years old. This hurt me when I went through that bad relationship and they left me or what have you. This hurt me when I suffered abuse in this. So instead, a lot of times anger is a mask for something else because it's a protective covering. It's a defense mechanism.
So when a person is referring to an angry person, they always say, or they sometimes say, this guy don't like to be happy. He wants to see other people miserable. That's why he's so angry. Is that a myth as well, or is that factual?
It depends on that. Each person, I think, because everybody has their own life experiences, so you really can't say that for, everyone. Some people just have suffered so much trauma and have been through so many things and not have been, and a lot of times have not addressed a lot of their mental health issues or not sought out therapeutic resources in order to, help them move on to the quality of their life. It's possible and it's not possible. Everybody has their own reasons for their anger. A lot of times people don't know how to express themselves. If you've never seen any other expression but anger, you don't know how to express yourself in any other ways. Especially if you grew up in a family of a household like that. And then there's other times where people are masking behind it. They want to cover up because they don't want to express their true feelings or whatever. Because it shows them they might think that people think they're timid or that they're weak. And no one wants to appear weak, especially when it comes to men. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Can you touch on the mental health a little bit? Is it the mental health part of it? Because I have a mental health issue. But most people say that people with mental health issues who are angry and go out and shoot people and all these different things, we know that there's a buildup prior to that extreme release. How can people understand or try to relate. Because if you don't have that type of brain, then you don't really relate to that kind of thing, just like alcoholics or gambling or, you know, people with addictions. So how can they identify, one, the anger that the mental person with the mental health issue is dealing with, and two, how can they show compassion or empathy or sympathy for those individuals?
Well, for one, it depends on if the mental health person has been properly diagnosed. If they've been, whether they're bipolar or schizophrenic or whatever, they actually been diagnosed and taking medication for or what have you. Pretty much, you know, you really have to, if a person has severe anger issues, they definitely need to seek out therapeutic or psychological resources or what have you, and take anger management classes or what have you. But there should never be a point where it turns into where it harms or disrespect or bring in physical violence to that other person. So basically, the goal is getting that person who suffers from getting a hot head or a hot temper is to teach them that it's okay to be angry. That's a healthy emotion. But how do you? It's not okay when you use that anger and be disrespectful and be violent and what have you. That's not okay. So basically, and that's where that person who suffers from that, especially if you want to have healthy relationships, you know, well, co-worker relationships, marriage relationships, family relationships, or what have you, you cannot maintain healthy relationships if you do not know how to express your anger in appropriate ways. You'd be locked up in jail or somebody killed you or what have you. So first of all, that person who suffers from anger has to learn that, to know that it's okay to be angry. That's okay. That's a healthy, normal emotion. But it's not okay when you don't appropriate that anger in the way that it's supposed to be appropriated. You can get your point across without being violent or disrespectful or what have you. So let's talk about some dynamics of anger and make it a little bit more understandable. We become more angry when we are stressed and our body resources are down. A lot of times stress brings on anger or what have you. And we often angry we didn't get what we needed as a child. A lot of people are still blaming their parents for something that their parents didn't provide for them when they was a child. That calls on anger. And sometimes, you know, we often become angry when we see it treating others that we can't even stand in ourselves.
Right.
Underneath a lot of many current angers are some disappointment, old disappointment, traumas, and triggers. And when I say trauma, a lot of things that may have happened in your past, traumas or triggers or sexual abuse or some kind of violent thing. Also, it don't have to be violent. Sometimes it could be grief. Some people have them recover, you know, from grief. Or a relationship that went sour, that, you know, somebody that you loved and they rejected you. Whatever traumatic experience that caused you that build up anger. So sometimes underneath many angers are those old disappointments and traumas and triggers. And sometimes we get angry because we were hurt as a child.
So you're also saying that your anger can also not only build up but also be suppressed from childhood to adulthood.
Yes.
Would that cause some type of bullying? I guess you would start calling bullies, right? They start bullying people at an early age or to express their aggression or their anger.
Yes, and bullying is pretty much the need to make someone else feel little. It's pretty much insecure people making someone else feel the way they already feel, to make that person feel less than because they feel less than. That's pretty much the premise of, You just have some, and also you just have mean and ugly people that like to put other people down or whatever. But underneath, that person who is actually the bully has real low self-esteem or has had some kind of traumatic issue to happen to them because they feel the need to put someone else down so they can feel better about themselves because maybe they've been the one on the opposite end. Maybe they've been the one to feel less than. Maybe they've been the one to feel, you know, they was not good enough or what have you. So then they turn that on to someone else to make themselves feel good.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, also, and speaking of warning signs and triggers, sometimes we might feel that we can just explode into, sometimes people explode into anger without warning. In fact, there are physical warning signs in your body to let you know that you are getting angry. Again, anger is a normal physical response, okay? So when someone get angry, what does their body do? When you get angry, what does your body do? Huh?
Tense up.
That's perfect.
I get Yeah.
Yeah. Breathing fast, clenching your jaw. Some people get knots in their stomach. Some people pace or need to walk around or breathe fast. Some people get headaches or what have you. So now so that is something that you know when you're feeling those thoughts, be aware of your own anger warning signs and triggers and then identify the negative thought pattern that trigger your temper, okay? Identify the thought patterns that trigger your temper. So let's talk about that negative thought pattern, overgeneralizing. What do you think overgeneralizing means? For example, let me tell you this. You always interrupt me. You always interrupt me. You never consider my needs. Everyone disrespects me. I never get the credit I deserve. Overgeneralizing. Now you're going to take it to another level. Remember, these are negative thought patterns that trigger your temper. And that person may not even be thinking like that. But you're fueling the fire because of your anger. And then also, let's talk about another negative thought pattern. So that was overgeneralizing. Obsessing on shoulds and musts. What I mean by that, and that's pretty much having a view of the way things should or must be and getting angry when reality doesn't line up with the vision. Oh, it should be like this. It should be like this. And it don't necessarily, everything don't necessarily have to be the way you think it should be.
Right.
One thing is mind reading. This is a big one right here. Is mind reading jumping to conclusion. Assuming you know what someone else is thinking or feeling. That person is set out intentionally to get you upset. They ignored your wishes and they disrespect you. That someone that is jumping to the conclusion that they disrespect you or ignored your wishes. And that's one of the biggest things that most people get mad at because their anger is boiling up. They overgeneralizing things. They obsessing over things. Then their mind starts thinking other things that person on the other end don't even know nothing about. Because that person whose anger has escalated because, why, their body is clenched, you know, is pounding, their heart is pounding, they're tensing their shoulders, and they just going through all this whole process. They're building themselves up for explosion. And then also a lot of people suffer. Also one of the things that identify negative thought patterns that trigger our temper is what I call collecting straws. And collective strategy, that's pretty much looking for things to get upset about. Just finding something to get in the argument about. Nitpicking.
I call that staying ready. You call that staying ready. I call that staying ready.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. Why is that staying ready for what?
To go off. I mean, you know.
I want you to keep talking. You're doing good.
Okay.
So you saying.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Okay. So my wife, she's a big woman, and I love big women. And so when we're out somewhere, I'm expecting somebody to say something really clever or something very humorous about my wife, and I'm ready to meet that challenge head on, whomever it may be. And so if
when you say ready, what that mean when you say ready?
I'm already angry. I'm just ready to release it.
Okay. So you're overgeneralizing.
Yes.
You're getting mad over something that's not even happened yet. So you're already going to the thing that you're going to be angry. Okay? Now keep going. Come on.
The second thing is, because I live in Oregon, I'm like one out of three black people on the river up here, so I'm ready for somebody to, say something negative, like, call me a nigga or save you black, whatever, I'm just waiting for them to say something.
Have you ever thought that some people are not prejudiced? Some people don't care that you're black? Why is that so important to you? Why look for
it? Oh, it's not anymore. It's just an example.
Okay.
I'm just saying from my point of view, that's how I was.
I know, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, because I was trying to explain to you what was staying ready meant for me. So
yeah,
those were examples of always being on the edge. Just there was a movie, The Avengers. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but The Incredible Hulk, the guy who played Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner, says his secret of him not turning into the monster is because he's always angry. And I never knew what that meant until I went to anger management class, and it clicked immediately and said, oh, I get it. He's always angry like I am. I'm always overgeneralizing things. So... So I'm always on the edge, and all it takes is just a fraction of a hair, and I'm going off. So that I understand. So you're saying that people who are staying on the edge or staying on the ready, as I call it, are overgeneralizing the overgeneralizing or overthinking the whole process.
The whole process. You're going into, you're setting yourself up because, for one, basically, let's give an example. Let's talk about the example that you said when you go out with your wife, right? That she's a big woman, she's attractive, whatever. So you're setting yourself up for anger when the real issue is, remember we said, anger is a cover-up for other emotions, right?
Right.
So what do you think you cover up? Insecurity.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Say
I ain't going to take you too deep.
Can you say that one more time, though?
I won't take you too deep, but you understand what I'm saying? So you'd rather express anger than express your insecurity. Why can't it be that I have a beautiful wife, she's with me, I should be flattered that somebody else may think she's attractive as long as it's not inappropriate or what have you, so what? But no. You're setting your whole emotions up, building up, on your way there, getting there, waiting. That's too much work. That's too much work to be angry or to set yourself up for an explosion. You understand what I'm saying? And it's basically hiding what you really feel. Something, obviously, there's an insecurity issue. It's not the anger issue, it's the insecurity issue. But the anger is masking behind security.
Well, let me tell you this. I know a lot of guys who feel the same way. So are we letting our masculinity come before, are we letting our anger come out before our masculinity problem and dealing with the masculinity problem we have?
I don't necessarily think that it's the masculinity problem. I think we all have insecurity. Is a normal emotion as well. Insecurity and vulnerability and shame, although along with anger, are all healthy and normal emotions. But instead of showing or instead of expressing that I don't like the way it makes me feel when other guys look at you, or I don't, you know, or say you're attractive or whatever, you just rather get mad.
Right.
Because the insecurity in some, and maybe if you want to use in a masculine form, make you feel or think that it is weak. They're all emotions. They're all emotions. But I say a weak man is the one who does not know how to express their emotions appropriately. So
okay, well, I got a good example for that.
Okay.
So apparently this is going on in the news, I guess, about the Miami Dolphin football player. Is he expressing?
Okay, I don't know too much about that, so you got to teach me about that. Tell me a little bit about that.
I don't know too much about it either because I'm not watching TV. But apparently he felt like he was being extremely bullied, so he left the football team in order to avoid conflict. Bullying.
Okay.
So the person that was doing the bullying and the person who was receiving the bullying, did he do the right thing by removing himself from this angry person?
Well, you know, if it was a situation that, you know, sometimes you have to avoid people and places and situations that bring out your worst. So, for one, he, on the other hand, you know, probably said didn't want to deal with it. He had enough and maybe got himself out of the equation. But he used it in a positive way to be on the mainstream or the forefront to bring out or use use his stance as one who could take stance on talking about bullying or what have you, or use as a platform is what I was trying to say. Use as a platform. So, no, I don't think that he was wrong. He could have done it two ways. He could have stayed and, you know, hung it out, or if he felt better, to just leave and use as a platform or what have you. So a lot of things, you know, with the football team and things of that nature, a lot of things could have taken place because of things that we don't know that only the media lets us know. We don't know I don't know what his rank was or how good of a player he was or what have you. You know, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that happen, you know, those men codes that happen when you're playing on a league or something like that. So I can't really say, but I do believe that I think that it was okay for him to leave the league and then use the bullying and whatever, especially in football or what have you, and utilize it as a platform. So I think that was fine. Because what he could have done was what? Go to practice one day and shoot up the whole team.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and then they would call him the angry person. He had a mental issue.
Exactly.
He had a mental problem.
So instead of doing that, he just decided to dismiss himself or what have you and use his story and his testimony as a platform, and it might help somebody else who was on a different league or whatever going through the same issue as he did. So, you know, it's a personal choice. What makes you feel good, it makes you feel comfortable, and makes you feel whole inside, I think it's the best choice for you.
Right. Okay, so I want to ask you a question about a myth. who is most angrier, men or women?
Neither. Both.
Neither. Both.
Neither. That's a myth. It's an
individual. It's a myth, okay.
It's not a man or a woman thing.
So can anger be medicated?
No. I think that if you need help controlling your behavior, that can be medicated. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See,
anger
was,
should not, remember, anger is an emotion. There's nothing wrong with having the expression of anger. Okay? Just like there's nothing wrong with having the expression of shame or embarrassment or whatever. Those emotions are not wrong. It's how you appropriate it.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It's how you appropriate
okay.
it. And when we say appropriate, it's how you, in what ways do you utilize the anger? Do you utilize your anger to lash out on your family, your wife, your children, your coworkers, your relationships, your family? Do you disrespect them, cut them out, talk to them crazy? Do you throw things? Is it violence or whatever? That right there, if you need help with that, that, you know, or whatever, then we might have to lock you up or something if we have issues like that. But, you know, you can't control your emotion of anger, but you have to learn how to control your reaction to it.
Right. So
that's not normal for people to say, oh, you can't, you know, there's not a right to be angry. No, you have a right to be angry. We have been, several of us have been mistreated in our lifetime. We've been actually wrong. And, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes we have been wrong, and sometimes, like you said, we overgeneralize anger, you know, making something up to be angry about something that's not even there. So anger
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what would you say? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I was taught that no one can make you angry.
No one can what?
No one can make you angry.
That's not true. That's not true. Yes, people can make you angry. People can make you angry. It's the behavior. Remember, it's the behavior behind anger. What you do, what do you do when you're angry?
Right.
That's the part. No one can't make you hit them. No one can't make you be disrespectful. That's a choice
but,
you make. What I'm saying is you choose how you appropriate your anger.
Right.
There are people that pisses me off. I hate road rage. I could drive down the street and somebody get in front of me and I get mad as a son of a gun. Okay, it's my choice just to ignore them or flip them off. Right? You make a choice.
Right.
Now, of course, you got angry, but I can make a choice and yell out the window and cuss them out and flip them a bird. Or I can just listen to the radio, calm myself down, and go on. It's a choice. It's a choice if you resort to physical violence. You can either leave the house for a few minutes, you know, go take a walk, or you can fight all night long. It's a choice. That no one can't make you do. You choose to do that. Remember, we're talking about the behavior. No one can make you act inappropriately. You make the choice to do that. So basically, what do you choose?
What about
what
other
choose?
Tips? What other tips do you can you provide for us?
So one of the things, one of the last tips I have is learning ways to cool down. So now we know what anger is. We kind of understand that. We understand that anger is emotion, you know, that sometimes it masks up other feelings or what have you. We learned why learning to control our anger is important. And we talked about how it can affect our physical, mental, and mental health and hurt relationship with others or whatever. You remember the first tip we talked about that anger was really bad. We the first tip was to explore what was really behind the anger. I mean, we talked about that. And the second tip was beware of the warning signs and triggers. That was the tension, the stomach clenching, and all that stuff. And also identifying the negative patterns as far as overgeneralizing and blaming and mind reading, jumping to conclusions or what have you, you know. But one of the things I want to say is also, too, that trigger people is avoid people, places, and situations that bring out your worst. Avoid people, places, and situations that bring out your worst. Stressful events, don't excuse the anger, but understanding how these events affect you can help you take control of the environment and avoid unnecessary aggravation. Okay? So, maybe, you know, people need to start looking at their regular routine and try to identify activities and times of day, people, place, or situations that trigger irritable or angry feelings. Sometimes there are people or places or whatever that trigger those feelings that bring out the worst in you. Maybe you get into a fight every time you go out for drinks with a certain group of friends. Maybe you shouldn't go out to have drinks with those certain group of people.
Right.
Remember, or maybe, you know, as I was saying, or maybe the traffic on your driving to work drives you crazy on your daily routine. Think about things and ways to avoid triggers or view the situation differently so it doesn't make your blood boil. So third tip is I wanted to stress the people, places, and things because a lot of times people get themselves caught up in situations where they don't need to be. But the
okay.
third tip
you
is...
You can go ahead and talk about that.
Okay. I'm good with that. Learn how to ways to cool down. And so what do you think are best ways when you get upset, how do you cool down?
I go out and listen to music. I just remove myself from the situation. I go in my room, either I listen to some music or I just cool down.
Yeah. Because the key thing is, once you recognize your own warning signs, and you know your own warning signs, that your temper is getting to rise and escalate and start anticipating your own triggers, you can start quickly learning how to deal with your anger before it spins out of control. And so I want to talk about some techniques to help people keep their anger in check, keep a reality check of their anger. So these quick tips is mainly, one, focusing on the physical sensations of anger. So tune into the way your body feels when you're angry. Often lessens the emotional intensity of your anger. Remember we talked about the way your body feels, where you tense up, clench your jaws or whatever. When you start clenching your jaws or your fist or whatever, you know, that's a physical sensation of anger. You know, so realize what your physical sensations are. Also, take deep breaths. Take deep breaths. You know, one of the two things that I like on YouTube is they have this like 5-minute or 5-minute vacation. They have some longer. But this is one of the things that I like to do when I just need to digress or whatever, is just take a 5-minute, I turn on this 5-minute vacation on YouTube and just bring it down some notches. But take some deep breaths, you know. Deep, slow breathing helps counteract rising tension, and the key is to breathe deeply from the abdomen, get as much fresh air as possible into your lungs. So, you know, just breathe in and breathe out. Also, a lot of times, like you said, some people like to go exercise. Some people like to go walk, or they Tai Bo or Insanity, Zumba, or whatever, you know, exercising. Or using your, like you said, one of the things that you like to do is listen to music or, you know, or what have you. That's one of my things is using my senses. And, you know, of course, take advantage of the relaxing power of your sense of sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste. like listen to music or picture yourself in a favorite place. Sometimes I, like I said, I take that 5-minute vacation, has music to it. I think of, I'm somewhere in a tropical beach somewhere or whatever. And also stretch or massage your areas of tension, like roll your shoulders if you're tense in them, for example, or gently massage your neck or scalp. Or, you know, count to 10, whatever you need to do, meditate, read a book, read the Bible, pray, whatever you need to do that fits your needs in order to bring it down a few notches. Again, you can manage your behavior. Anger is a healthy emotion, but the way you express yourself is not. And just give yourself a reality check, okay? When you start getting upset about something, take a moment, think about the situation, and ask yourself, how important is it in the grand scheme of things? Is this really worth getting angry about? Is it really worth it? A lot of times people ruin their relationships. They ruin marriages. They ruin friendships and family relationships because they can't control anger. I know people that have not talked to their family members in 10 to 15 years. They done totally forgot what they've gotten mad about 10 years ago, but it still seep in with that anger. And also you got to ask yourself, is it worth ruining the rest of your day? It's more work being angry and bitter.
Sometimes people feel like they need to express their anger because, you know, they're just tired of it and they're just a ticking. I mean, it's just a matter of time before it releases. So how are they supposed to maintain that?
Good question. Very good. Good question. And it's okay to be upset on someone. It's okay. It is okay. But the key thing is what I learned when my mom used to tell me, fight fair. Fight fair. And what I mean by that is it's okay to be upset at someone, but if you don't fight fair, the relationship will quickly break down. Fighting fair allows you to express your own needs while still respecting others. And so what is not fighting fair? What do you think what I mean with now? I'm going to ask you this. What do you think what I mean when I say fight fair? What are ways that people don't fight fair? Because it's okay to express your anger or your being upset. And so it's okay to express that. Remember, we're not saying nothing against the emotion. We're talking about the behavior. The emotion is not the problem. It's the behavior that's inappropriate. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So basically, we're learning how to have a healthier a way of expressing our emotion, our emotion of anger. Okay? So a lot, and this is what a lot of times people, especially in relationships or whatever, the key thing is, especially when you want to express yourself, you're upset at that person, you want to get your feelings out. See, that person can't hear you with all that loudness, that disrespect, that cuss. You're not going to get your point over carrying yourself that way. And you're not fighting fair. So when I say fight fair, the key thing that most people miss out in their relationship and when they get into arguments, they do not make their relationship priority. What do I mean? Making the relationship your priority. Maintaining and strengthening the relationship rather than winning the argument should always be the first priority. Be respectful of the other person and his or her viewpoint. Make sure that your relationship priority. Don't try to get your point over. Don't try to win. Try to focus on making your relationship sustain. And you can't make your relationship sustain having inappropriate behavior. So you can express your viewpoints or whatever, but make sure you do it in a respectful way to maintain the relationship, Because all you do is you just want a voice and you want to be heard. You want them to understand what you're feeling, right? And you can't get your feelings across if you're acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get your feelings across. I always tell people, don't talk about a person's, talk about how the behavior makes you feel. Also, one of the things that messes people up, that escalate anger, when I say people don't fight barriers, they bring up the past. Now, if something that happened 2 or 3 years ago in your relationship and you bring it up because of a heated moment, you're angry with something by that, but somebody brings up something years ago, you're not fighting fair. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Fight fair. Focus on the present. So it's okay to be upset. I want to reiterate. Because in relationships or whatever, there are times that people will upset. You're going to be upset with one another. That person may disappoint you or one another, because no one can be everything to you. No one can give you, I mean, you can try your best or whatever, but that person can never be everything to you. So you will have problems. You will have times where you'll be upset at one another. But the goal is make your relationship priority. And you are not making your relationship priority trying to get trying to over-talk them or trying to win the argument. The key to making your relationship priority is understanding each other's viewpoints. Compromise. Understanding each other's viewpoints. Not bringing up old junk. Because sometimes people get in the heat of argument, it's easy to start throwing past grievances in the mix. Rather
right.
than looking to the past and assigning blame, focus on what you can do in the present to solve the problem. Fight fair. Remember, we're talking about fighting fair. Also, one of the things is choose your battles. Choose your battles. Conflicts can be so draining. Arguments can be so draining. It's important to remember, because, like I said, we try to make the relationship a priority. We try to maintain a relationship here. And it's important to consider whether the issue is really worth your time and energy. Sometimes people fight over the silliest stuff, minute things. Choose your battle. Is it really worth it? Pick your battles rather than fighting over every little thing. Others will take you more seriously when you're upset if you're just not nitpicking and bringing up little crazy, silly stuff, old stuff from the past or what have you. Choose your battle. And also one of the most important things, very deep right here, is be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. You're not fighting fair if you cannot forgive the other person.
How can you... How can you get that person to forgive? Like, how can you... I know you can't make a person forgive. But how can
a lot of times it takes time, process, and proving yourself and changing behaviors, working it, working the program. Whatever that is causing the issue, whatever that is causing the tension in the relationship, if maintaining the relationship is important, then you work at it. Whether it's through therapy, others seeking counseling. A lot of people don't want, sometimes it's good to express counseling, to get counseling in your relationship. People go to the doctor if they're sick or whatever. People go to the church house. God uses, does all types of people, whether they're psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health professionals, to come in and stand in a gap. So, you know, if it's hard, if you're struggling, but you know you want to stay together, work it out. Do what it takes. Be a listening ear. But we have to quit in our relationships all that fighting and arguing and carrying on, and break generational curses of all that of unhealthy marriages and being miserable in relationships. Like I said, every day is not going to be ice cream and cupcakes and things of that nature, but just learning how to manage the behaviors and learning how to communicate with one another effectively. But when I say willing to forgive, you know, resolving conflict is impossible if you're unwilling or unable to forgive. Resolution lies in releasing the urge to punish, which can never compensate for our loss. It only adds to our injury by further depleting and draining our lives.
That's right.
So, right, it can never compensate for what we lost. It only adds to the injury by further depleting and draining our lives. So you must learn how to forgive. If you're going to maintain relationship or marriage or family relationship or what have you, you have to learn how to forgive one another and know when to let it go. Know when to let something go. If you can't come to an agreement, sometimes you have to say, you know, we agree to disagree. It takes two people to keep an argument going. Okay, you got that one. I'm not, you know, but you have to see, is this really worth me to keep on and on and on and on and on and on? I'd rather love than fight. Right? It's easier to love than just be fighting all the time. At least an unhappy and draining and unfulfilled life, an unfulfilled relationship, a purposeless relationship. So I want to go over those things again, because this is where a lot of, especially when it comes into couples, they don't fight fair. They don't make their relationship a priority. They rather get their point over, because I want to make sure I point this out. They rather get their point over than making their relationship a priority. You have to learn how to make your relationship a priority. Not try to win the battle, but make your relationship a priority. And be respectful of each other's viewpoint. You may not agree with them. You can disagree or whatever, but be respectful. Don't discount how they feel. That's vice versa. Don't bring up past junk. Don't bring up stuff. Don't bring up stuff from yesteryears or whatever. They have all that old stuff. That you just bring it on. You're upset about something in the present, then you're bringing on old junk. That just fuels the fire, bringing up that crazy stuff. Choose your battles. Learn when, you know, pick your battles. It's not something that's just not worth it. Be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is very important if you're going to maintain a relationship.
Yes.
Also, know when to let some things go. Very important. You can agree to disagree. It's okay. You ain't got to win every time. If you feel true to how you feel, okay, and that person feels true to how they feel, okay then, quit arguing with that person to get them to see what you want them to see. It's okay if you disagree. Very important. Any questions? I'm very talkative. Do we have anybody listening to us or just me and you?
No, they got people listening. It's just that nobody's in the chat room and nobody's called in yet, so... Usually I find out how many people are listening after the broadcast, but people usually just listen in. I'm trying to figure out why people are not calling in because it's such a great topic, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it's the middle of the week and it's, you know, early.
Because I actually feel like I'm just on the phone with you. But it's okay. Sometimes things are a sensitive subject, and, you know, sometimes these topics can be a sensitive subject. And so sometimes people just need to listen and get assistance and not always feel a need to call in. And that's okay. You know what I mean? You know, if we have a listen, if someone listening or what have you, we know that somebody needed to hear and learn how to control and manage their anger. So I also, you know, just want to encourage, if all these things don't work, you feel, because like I said, sometimes people are suffering from bipolar, schizophrenia, and things of that nature, because sometimes there are mental health issues that make people preventable, that make it unpreventable to control your emotions, then I would definitely encourage you to seek help, especially despite, the techniques that we practice, or if you get into trouble with the law or hurting others, you need more help. If you're having a problem with law enforcement or thoughts of wanting to harm someone or harm yourself, definitely want to make sure that you know when to seek help. And there are a lot of therapists and classes and programs for people with anger management problems. And you know what? One key thing is asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
We have a caller, so.
Huh?
We have a caller.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hello, caller. How are you doing? Welcome to Sound Off Forums.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear? Do you have a question for Ms. Morrison?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, can I hear
yes.
you good?
Okay. Yeah, I was just waiting to call. There was just so much good information coming through. I was just waiting.
Thank you.
I do have a couple questions. So let's say you are in a relationship with somebody who is has an anger issue, and not only is it an anger issue, it has been to the point where it was there's been physical abuse, verbal abuse.
Okay.
Has control issues, and the person is now, they're seeking the help, and they're going through anger management classes, and they're reaching out, they're getting more into God and everything like that, having more spiritual faith.
Uh-huh.
I guess what my question is, how people say once somebody is an abuser, they're always an abuser. Once they've crossed that line where they've hit you, and especially if it's been more than once, then it will happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for somebody who is truly, truly seeking help for that kind of behavior to not happen anymore?
That's a twofold question. And what I would say is yes, I do believe people can get help. I absolutely
mm-hmm.
do believe people can get help. But it also depends on their mental state of mind.
Right.
It also depends on their mental health. And a lot of times, due to their mental health situation, it can tend to be uncontrollably. So, yes, I do believe in second chances. We serve
mm-hmm.
a God of second chances. I do believe people can be reconciled or get back together. I definitely believe in that, or what have you.
Okay.
But I also believe there's an aspect that some individuals suffer from mental health issues that make things a little bit more hard for them to be rehabilitated. But, yes, I do believe in rehabilitation.
Yeah.
I do believe
yeah,
that there are some individuals who suffer through mental health issues or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That are maybe not can you know that may take him a little bit more. That may need a little bit more assistance. But yes, it's
okay.
Also since I don't know the total background. Just so
mm-hmm.
let me ask you this: has this person been physically and verbally abusive toward you?
Yes.
Okay then. So now, when you said this person is seeking help, what type of help are they seeking?
They are mentally. They do have mental health issues.
Okay.
They are going to anger management
mm-hmm.
Classes to learn
okay.
about that. They have their own personal counseling that they go to twice a month, and
okay.
they also see somebody on the regular for their medication.
Okay.
To help with their mental issue. Mental
right.
health issue, and then
yes.
And really, really, I mean, he's always been very, very spiritual, and but just something about this time, he just seems to be at a whole another level with God right now. And he's
right.
just very, you know, and the, you know, part of it, you know, I kicked this person out of my home and stuff like that, and made him have to, realize and see what he really wants, if this is, if he was willing to change his behaviors or not. And, and they were, and they are, you know, and they're showing it every single day, and they have been great. I mean, really, really, truly great, like, almost like, I mean, actually not almost, but has been a different person. Like, the medication, they put him on some newer medication, not newer, but a different one, and he's a totally different person now. And, and so, but I guess for me, being the person on the receiving end of the anger, it's very, I mean, I love how he is being and everything, but I just, in the back of my mind, I'm just afraid that that's going to come back.
Right, and you have a right to be, you know, make sure, you know, you have a right to be, you know, a little cautious about that. So now let me ask you this, what is the current state of your relationship? Are you guys together? Are y'all cohabitating, or what's the current state?
Yeah, we're back together, and I mean it was my husband, so yeah, he's back in.
Oh, your husband. Okay, your husband.
Yeah.
And how long have y'all been married?
It will be 3 years.
Okay.
Here in a couple months. Yeah.
So during the whole marriage, has it been an abusive relationship, or there are certain times? Are there trigger points where it has come into an abusive situation?
It's trigger points. If it was something that was abusive all the time, I think for me that would be totally a different. But because I know that he has
mental health
issues, you know, I know that, I mean, because he has PTSD, he has TBI.
Oh, okay.
I personally have kind of, I've told him more than once that I think he's bipolar, also on top of all this. And you know, I mean, most of the time, you know, he's a great person. He's a great man. But there are triggers. And when he explodes, he explodes. And it's never been where it's been, like when he has gotten physical, it has never, ever been where it was like in extreme. It was like, you know, I'd say something that made him mad and he slapped me type thing, which I'm not excusing it because it's not.
Right. We don't want to diminish that. Right.
Right, right. But I'm just pointing out that it's not an all the time occurrence and type deal.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. I would continue on since he's back in the household. And you guys are back together, I will, you know, make sure that, you know, that you guys stay in counseling and or what have you, because, you know, and PTSD, that's another topic that I know George wants me to discuss on a later thing, because I work with a lot of people suffering with PTSD, which is a very, you know, they have suffered from traumatic experiences, so he needs to continuously to be in treatment and counseling for that. And since he's also back in the household, I would encourage you guys, you know, of course he needs to see his own, you know, his own help, but also as a couple. Do you guys do counseling together?
No, we don't. We attempted it two different times, and both times it just didn't work. Like, either the person didn't click with us, or, I mean,
yeah, and that happens.
Husband,
you know, you
yeah,
don't always
my,
like
my
the same doctor.
My husband just kind of got upset. Yeah, and then after I kicked him out, I also started seeking my own personal counseling because, I mean, you know, obviously I have things too now. You know, so
and we all do. We all have issues,
and I have mine, and but we don't have anything together just yet. I don't really know if we're ready for that. I don't know.
Well, like you said, well, your main question was, do I feel that that person can basically be rehabilitated? Yes, I do feel like people can change. I honestly, absolutely do feel that people can be rehabilitated. It's actually, I would say that it is a little harder due to maybe potentially mental health issues, which is beyond their control. Because a lot of times there's chemical imbalance and things of that nature that's, you know, sometimes beyond, pretty much when you have a mental condition, that's beyond their control. So, you know, when it brings that aspect in it or what have you, you know, he definitely need to keep up with his therapeutic services and counseling that he's getting to keep it under control, especially since he's, you know, I'm sure he has to do all that anyway to take medication and whatever they have to keep counseling and to check his meds. And sometimes, you know, you have to also be careful with meds because medication sometimes, you know, these doctors or psychiatrists don't always get the meds right. Sometimes it takes adjusting, you know, with those meds. So I would just keep, you know, if you haven't had any problem as of late, you know, whatever, due to all the things that he's been doing to be proactive to work on it, because obviously he wants to work on it.
Right.
So that's apparent that he obviously wants to work on it. You guys want to work on your relationship to keep the things that he's doing to help him. So since he's been in therapy, since his medicine has, he's taken his medication or been on his med, how have things in the home been since?
They've been really good.
Okay.
You know, just he doesn't really anger at all, and if he hasn't showed it, but I really don't think he has.
So basically, you haven't got into a boiling point yet, a hot spot yet.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, and I know that there was one day we were in the car going somewhere, and the kids in the back were just constantly talking, and goofing off and talking, and I can usually detect it. I can see it in his face. I can just see. I always know when he's overwhelmed or when he's frustrated, you know, and
you start
to
tense up, right?
Yeah, and he just kind of looked at me and was like, oh, my head is killing me, and then I turn and you know, and I tell the kids, okay, I really need you guys to be quiet now, and they understand, they know that he has PTSD and certain things. I mean, like that can just, you know, after a while it just triggers them. I mean, you know,
right.
I don't have PTSD, and I, you know, I get triggered with my own kids.
I like that you have an open communication with the kids, so the kids can understand, you know, what's going on as well. The only time I would say, you know, just, you know, if there's not been no haven't been any physical violence in the home or whatever, you're being harmed anymore or your kids, then he's already there and he's working on it, then I would say, you know, go for it away. Most people probably wouldn't tell you that because a lot of people don't understand mental health. A lot of people don't understand PTSD. But he's being treated for it because PTSD is very serious now. It's very prevalent. And I don't know if he's a veteran or what have you, but you don't have to necessarily be a veteran that has to suffer from PTSD. It's pretty much major traumatic. Most veterans do suffer from it, but you don't necessarily have to be a veteran to suffer from PTSD.
Right.
So those traumatic things that have happened, especially if he is a vet, or whatever, because it's unfortunate that our servicemen who have served this country or what have you, they have suffered and been through a lot of traumatic experience, and it's hard for them to get back to relate. So he has to be in constant therapeutic service and taking his medications or whatever. And if that's working or what have you, then go for it. I would just keep recognizing, you know, you sounds like you've got a handle on recognizing the signs when he tests up or, you know, when you need to talk to the children and keep an open line of communication. And, of course, you know, if anything results into violence or even verbal abuse, because I consider verbal abuse just as well as physical abuse. When it comes to that situation, then, you know, I would say, you know, seek outside help or what have you as far as, you know, vacate. Or do what you need to do to protect yourself as well as your children.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I hope that helps them. Did I make the?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
And it's very nice.
Because it sounds like you want to keep your family together, and it sounds like he wants to keep the family together, and it sounds like he's taking the necessary steps. I would, you know, if he was not doing anything or not going to counseling, not taking medication, not getting therapeutic care, then I was, you know, then I would tell you something different. But it sounds like you're trying to keep the unit together. So with keeping the unit together, then you guys are doing the necessary things to do what you need to do. He's taking the steps, and you're taking the steps. Then I would say go for it, as long as there's, of course, no violence or verbal abuse going on in the home.
Right.
So if that has ceased or what have you, because like I said, I do believe in rehabilitation. I do believe in giving people second chance. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, there's not to say that by any means do I believe domestic violence and verbal abuse is acceptable. I do believe that people can be rehabilitated. And if they're doing the necessary steps to rehabilitate it, keep an open line of communication, seeking therapeutic help or what have you, if you know, you might want to find a support group that for wives who got husbands. There are support groups out there that wives who have husbands who suffer from PTSD and get among other like-minded individuals or people going through the same things as you to connect or whatever, and get your support system.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and we actually had looked into that. I think it was just this last week we found a group and the time, because I mean, you know, it's, you don't want your business out there to everybody, and but at the same time you need you know, like I need a support group.
Right.
And if people, there's so many people who don't understand PTSD or any, you know, for that matter, any type of, you know, mental health issue. And, you know, it's hard because a lot of people, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. There are a lot of people who don't necessarily respect my decision. And those people, you know, I feel that they're not necessarily my true friends or, you know, the people who are going to support me are the people who know me and know George. Oh, gosh. Sorry. And know.
That's okay. Keep going.
No, it's not. you know, they know the situation and they know us well enough to know that it is, you know, when I say things are going good, I'm not lying to make it look like it's good when it's not. When I say, you know what,
well,
he's doing great.
It's no one, for one,
great.
You have to keep people out your business.
Is that, yeah.
You have to keep people out your business and focus on the relationship and actually focus on the marriage. If, like I said, if you're, when discussing earlier, if you two are trying to work it out and do everything you possibly can to maintain the family, and that person is doing what they need to do in order to maintain the family, you know in your heart when it's time for you to break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people will not understand PTSD. A lot of people, you need to move on, God, I'm being that, I'm angry. That's people that do not understand. And so that's why it's not always good to tell people your business, because they understand, but you get around professional people, get around people who understand mental health, people who understand PTSD, people who understand bipolar or whatever mental health condition there is. You have to be around people that understand that, because the norm would not understand that. They're on the outside looking in. But again, as long as you guys are doing what it takes to maintain your relationship, it doesn't matter what other people think. And when you get to a point and you know the triggers and you know the tension spans or what have you, when it becomes to a violent issue or whatever, then you know what to do, and that's seek shelter for you and your family.
Right.
But as long as the person is I would say then if you're working it out, they're back in the home, They're doing what they need to do. I definitely think, highly suggest you to get support outside of the community. You understand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, get outside support, especially get support groups, you know, as far as wives of, you know, a person with PTSD and things of that, because you all have something uniquely in common. You understand? You won't have things in common with people who don't understand that. So they're going
right.
to always antagonize and be against. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I do.
Yeah, they're going to always be against that, okay, because they don't get it. But you get around a group of people that understand what your family is going through and understand the uniqueness of your situation. They would, you know, and you need that support. You need that support. You need that support specifically designed for you. You definitely must get you support for yourself. Get you some support and keep up the counseling or whatever. Now, marital counseling or whatever, you know, I would suggest, you know, to keep, find someone eventually. You know, it takes a while to shop around for the right person to connect with, right? You know, just like with a doctor. I don't like all doctors or whatever. I don't like all churches. Sometimes I don't like the pastor at every church, right? So you go where you feel comfortable with someone that you connect with. So I definitely think that you should seek people that you can kind of connect with to keep, you know, keep. The thing is, you're trying to nurture and nourish your relationship and sustain the family unit. And I'm all about family or what have you. I'm all about sustaining the family unit. I do believe in rehabilitation or what have you. Yes, it's a little bit more challenging. It's a little bit more work to sustain that family union when you do have someone that is suffering from a mental health condition. But it can be done. If that person on the other end who is seeking help, you guys as a combined family unit, or you're talking, you're openly communicating with one another, not with other people, but with one another, discussing and one another, and that person learning different techniques on how to control and manage their anger or what have you, and you're out of harm's way or whatever, keep that unit going. If that's working, keep it going. You know if it don't work and what you need to do.
Okay. All right. Well,
have
I thank
you,
really
you love?
For answering my question.
Have I helped you any?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Good.
I thank you for taking my call and listening to me.
Love you, honey.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm thank you for calling.
All
thank
right.
You,
thank
baby.
You,
baby.
Bye.
Bye. Well, would you like to close this out?
Okay. Well, first of all, ending, I just want to reinforce that, you know, when the seek help for anger management, if your anger is spiraling out of control, despite putting previous anger management techniques into practice, if you're getting trouble with the law or hurting others, you need more help. There are many therapists and classes and programs for people with anger management. Remember, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. I just wanted to reinforce that. Sometimes you often find other people in the same shoes, and getting direct feedback on techniques for controlling anger can be tremendously helpful. There is also therapy for anger problems, and therapy can be a way to explore reasons behind your anger. Remember, there is reasons behind the anger. And if you don't know why you're getting angry, it's very hard to control it. And therapy provides a safe environment for you and your family to learn more about reasons and identify triggers for anger. And it's also a safe place to practice skills in expressing anger. Also, there's several anger management classes and groups. And make sure you consider professional help if you feel constantly frustrated and angry no matter what you try. Your temper causes problems and you work in your relationships. And consider professional help if you avoid new events and people because you feel like you can't control your temper. Consider professional help if you've gotten in trouble with the law due to your anger. Consider professional help if your anger has led to physical violence. So definitely want to encourage whoever is listening out there To seek help is not a sign of weakness. It shows a sign of strength when you're trying to get the help that you need to fulfill and have a purpose-filled and quality life. So I'm going to end there, but I do like to end. I always like to end with a prayer. So if you would give me that opportunity. Okay. Father God, I thank you right now. Thank you for every person who's listened or thought about listening or whatever, who is struggling with anger or maybe a part of a person struggling with anger and controlling anger. God, I ask right now that you will seek into those individuals and speak into them, God. Let them know that it's something that it can be controlled, God. God, let them know that whatever is in the past, and God, and help them to move over to their future. You said it's your will for us to be healed and your will for us to be abundantly blessed and live a life of prosperity. We know that prosperity is more than finances, but it's mental health. It's good emotions. It's healthy relationships, God, healthy lives, God. So I pray, God, right now that each person, the sound of my voice, they will hear your voice and let them know that you are their child, God, that you belong to them, God, and there's nothing too hard for you, God. So whatever the devil said no, God, we know that you said yes, Lord. And whatever the enemy meant for bad, we know that you mean it for good, God. And so we thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless all these individuals, God, that they live the life that you have called them to live, that they have a relationship that you would call, that you would want them to have, and the marriages that you want them to have, God. I thank you for George. I thank you for helping him, blessing him to have this platform for whoever may need to help or whoever need to hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, God. I thank you, Lord, and bless each listener there, God, that you will bless whatever situation that they may in and seek the appropriate help that they need. And in all these things we pray in Jesus' name. If you have any more questions or feel please to contact me. My Facebook is Dana Nicole Morrison, and my email address is danamorrison73@yahoo.com. Please feel free, if you have questions that I didn't address or you may want to talk to me something in privately, please feel free to do so. God bless you.
Thank you very much. If you could, like, send me post something on my wall, that way
yes.
They have contact information for you and stuff like that, and also information of people who are in Dallas or in that metroplex or whatever who could capture your thing, because I have a lot of people that's on my page, or even just contact information.
Thank you. I'm gonna get 2 hours then. Thank you, love, for having me.
Thank you. Now, I appreciate it, and please come on again. I really want you to come on and do that, those other pieces
to
that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
You have
we
a good
love
one.
You on the show. All right, good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for those who spent this 2 hour of time with me taking, because you can't get this back. But I appreciate this great, awesome time of Q&A. Thank you for the caller calling. Thank you for the people who are listening and who will listen. I appreciate this. May God be with you. May God bless you. Next time I hear you, or the next time I see you, you should be sounding off.
I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do. no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart. My offering.